Well, hello. My name is Angele Wood, and this is Crime of the Truest Kind. Well, hello, and welcome to the show. Very exciting episode today. Episode number 61. If you are at the live show at Off Cabot in Beverly, we basically declared that night that we would do this episode. When I say we, I mean Brandy of Evaporate the Missing, who was my guest at the live show, and really, for the most part, introduced me to the case that we are going to talk about on today's show. A couple of points to clarify. When Brandy and I spoke about this case, we had a good amount of information. And since Brandy and I spoke about the case, I was able to collect a fair amount more from the woman, Kara, whom you will hear us refer to. Kara is somebody, a Maine citizen, a concerned Maine citizen, a concerned Maine mom, hearing about another missing woman, started to look into the case. And she was able to discover a great deal of information, which I'm not going to say too much up front, but following the interview, or following the conversation, really, that Brandy and I have, I'll make a little bit more sense out of some of the things. Here's what I'll say at the top. Throughout the course of the conversation, we refer to her as Anton. That's not her name. Her name is Atin. Atin R. Shah, the R for Rushamawati. She is a citizen of Indonesia who went missing from Maine. She and her family had moved to Maine in the early part of 2020. They moved to a very rural area, Washburn, Maine. Now, I remember stories of my family talking about Presque Isle and caribou and how really far that seemed, but it's really even further away than that. It's a beautiful area. It is very, very close to where the United States meets Canada. Washburn, Maine is less than 20 miles from the border. It is very far. So as I have collected new information about Atin's case, we will do a follow-up on everything that I am gathering, because her story is a mystery. And of course, we want to know more about it and how maybe we could help get Atin's case more attention. Because Atin R. Shah is still missing, and she has 4 children waiting for her. And no one seems to be doing very much about it until now. This is episode number 61. My guest is Brandy of Evaporate the Missing. Now, before I forget, follow the show at Crime of the Truest Kind on all the places. Email the show. Share a show idea. crimeofthetruestkind@gmail.com. You can send something in the post. My post office box is at the website at crimeofthetruestkind.com. Leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Listen on Good Pods, an independent podcast platform, which keeps putting Crime of the Truest Kind on their charts. I thank them for that. Support the show. 4 tiers starting at just $1 on Patreon. I owe you a mini. It's about surviving a plane crash. I just wrote it. For those of you in the general Boston vicinity, the 9-Night Music Festival that I organize and host gets underway Thursday, April 4th, the Rock and Roll Rumble. We're pretty amped. Starts at the Middle East in Cambridge. This is episode 61. We go to the farthest regions of northern Maine, to almost Canada, to Washburn, and what we are starting to learn about the disappearance of Atin R. Shah. We had a really great show together a couple of weeks ago at Off Cabot in Beverly. Thank you for coming, Brandy. You were nervous, but it didn't take very long until I saw you relax. I think I saw the moment where your body posture changed and you were on the mic. You were telling it.
Yes, absolutely.
You had shared a number of cases that you've written about and have been following on Evaporate the Missing. And one of the cases that we talked about at the live show was the case of the missing woman from Maine. Her name is Atin R. Shah. Now, this is a really interesting story for a number of reasons, which we will get into. First and foremost, I think we should start by saying this. Not unlike some of the other cases that we followed, she went missing in 2021, but the public didn't really know anything about the public. When I say the public, meaning outside of probably the small town in northern Maine that she lived in at the time. So Brandy, you followed this much more closely. I think I probably had been aware of her case, but I didn't really know very much about it. And when we were prepping for the live show, you tipped me off to this and you had a great deal of information. So let's go back to, I guess, early 2023 is when we first publicly heard the case of Atin R. Shah. How did you first become clued into her case?
I became aware of Atin Shah when I think I was just on a Facebook missing persons group, and a woman by the name of Kara had posted on there. It had, you know, Anton's picture, her information, and then she had a link for her own Facebook page that she created for Atin. And this was in actually this year in January. And I was super intrigued, you know, clicked on it, and I was like, wait a minute, you know, this is really odd. She disappeared in 2021 and I'm just hearing about it now. I actually reached out to Kara, and she seemed like she needed a little bit more help kind of spreading the word. Originally, I was going to write a story on Atin. I might still in the future, but for now that kind of got put to the back burner a little bit. But I did get to know a lot about her through Kara, because Kara is in communication with Anton's family that currently live in Indonesia.
So that's the thing. There are a lot of red flags, of course. We've come to recognize these and so this world that we now inhabit as, you know, in the true crime realm. Let's lay out some of the facts about Atin that we know. She was a 33-year-old mother of four children when she was last seen in September of 2021. Reportedly, I don't know where that date comes from, maybe her husband. She was from Indonesia. She was only in the U.S. for a short time. Where she was living was Washburn, Maine, which you know that that is very rural. That is way up there. We're talking like Caribou, Presque Isle, like almost Canada, Maine.
Almost Canada, right.
And I don't know what brought her there.
It's still kind of unclear why they moved there specifically. I'm not sure if he has family in that area. I know originally he is from the United States, but they met in Indonesia. But yes, in 2020, they moved to Washburn, Maine, and not really sure why. The only thing we can kind of gather is due to the pandemic. We're still not sure.
She's a native Indonesian person. He was in Indonesia. They met, they got together, and then they moved from Indonesia to another country. They went to Myanmar.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there for...
It doesn't sound like for a long time. Because I think what I found was, or from what I understand, they moved there in 2019.
And then they ended up back in the U.S. in a very small town. Very, very small town. To give it some kind of context, it's about 1,600 people who live in this area. So a woman, a mom, she's got four kids. She goes missing. Nobody knows. She doesn't probably have a lot of close friends in the area yet because she's been there for such a short time. I'm hoping that the children are in school. So someone within the small community has to recognize that the mom isn't around. We don't know anybody who's come forward to have anything much to say other than her family, right?
Right. So I think the problem lies with Anton didn't have a job. She wasn't with friends. She didn't have activities to go to, anything like that. We do know that she was looking for work, or she wanted to look for work. And at one point she did, the same year in 2021, when she disappeared earlier that year, she did try and work at a Bangor pizza shop. And initially I was like, that's a little far away from Washburn. But now, from what I understand, is Anton was actually renting a place in Hamden. And she was just by herself. And she attempted to work at Bangor Pizza Shop. She worked there for a few days. The owner of the establishment, I guess, realized some of her paperwork didn't allow her to legally work in the U.S. Wow. So they had to let her go. And after that, it seems like she went back to the family home.
So you say you think that she was renting a place near Bangor?
That is what I'm told from her advocate, Kara.
Wow. That's like almost 3 hours away.
Yes. That's why I was, when I heard about that she possibly tried to work there a few months back, I was very confused. And then, not sure if I'm more confused now, because why was she renting a place by herself? It seems like maybe she could have been trying to establish herself. She wanted, you know, she wanted to be married. She loved her husband, Mike, but she also wanted to feel independent from him, too.
And I had read in some of my research that when she was in Indonesia, where she lived, where she was raised, didn't she work as a hairstylist there? Did she have her own salon?
Yeah, so I've been told that her husband, Mike, actually bought a salon for her there. And she worked there in her whole own salon for a certain period of time. Don't really know when those years were.
Wow. So this is all more questions. It poses more questions.
Right.
We don't know what brought them to Washburn, Maine, if that's where he's from, possibly. Maybe we'll find out more in time. It was during the pandemic, so that would make sense. It would make sense that that's what brought them there. But just such a rural area. Do you have any idea what her husband was doing? Like what his career was or what he was doing for work?
I know in Indonesia, he was a teacher. That's how him and Anton met. I think he was a math and science teacher there. And Anton was actually a secretary at the school that he taught at. And that's how they met. Here, the only thing that we, I guess, can confirm is at one point he did work at a trash facility, and that was in 2021. We don't believe he works there anymore, and we don't know for how long he worked there.
So so many red flags for me.
But there's more.
I know. It's so upsetting to me. We know that her family, for up to about 2 years, her family had been trying to find her and reach out to her. They hadn't been having any communication from her, right?
It seems like Anton was last publicly seen in August of 2021. September 8th of 2021, Mike says that was the last day he had saw his wife. The night prior, Anton and him were in a conversation because she wanted to work. And I'm not sure if Mike necessarily didn't want her to work or if the dynamics in the household, because keep in mind they do have 4 children, I'm not sure if it just wasn't feasible for her to work. Right. But either way, it seems like Mike was kind of opposed to her working. But, and he later stated to her family, she was upset that night, but it kind of blew over and they watched a movie before they went to bed. The next morning, he woke up, Anton was there, his kids were there. He left to the store, grocery store, I believe, to get some essential items. And when he returned is when she was gone. I don't know if he told the family that day, but shortly after, he did inform her family that she was missing. He also told them that he did report her missing to the police department that day, September 8th. However, there's no record of him doing that. There is a record of him reporting her missing in November of 2021, so 2 months later. And this was actually because the family was kind of pushing him to do so. Not sure if they didn't believe him about the prior report or what that was about, but he finally did report her missing, and it's on the books, it's actual, in November of 2021. Then it seems like he told the police that she went back to her native country, and then he told her family she went to work on a cruise ship. And then that's kind of where the story is a little stagnant. I don't know if the police believed Mike and then like the family believed Mike. So nobody was really looking for her or I guess spreading awareness about her. And that's kind of where in July of 2023, Anton's father reached out to Mike again. Like, hey, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Where is my daughter? And this is where it kind of spirals into this mess. And now many, many people know that she's a missing person. She's a missing mother. She's a missing wife.
As I understand it, she has a history for sometimes taken off to blow off some steam, but always comes back.
Yes. I was informed that she did take off a couple times. I'm not sure if she has a mental health issue that's not diagnosed or what it is, but there are claims that she has kind of taken off in the past, but never for more than a week, I believe it was.
Tell me about this woman, Kara. What's her connection and how does she get her information?
Kara's actually a local to Maine. She's a resident of the state of Maine. And she came across Anton's missing persons, I guess, flyer through one of the missing persons Facebook sites groups. And it was posted there from one of her friends in Indonesia. And that's how that kind of happened. She was kind of intrigued and she was curious, like many of us. like I said, she's a local, and she's never heard of this missing mother. And that's how she got attached, you know, to the story. And she started communicating with the friends in Indonesia, the family over there. And they really trust her to spread the word, to speak for them. They have a pretty good relationship, from my understanding.
Because she's been sharing information that has been coming directly from the family. There's something that she posted in mid-January that is basically a message from her family saying, yeah, we're looking for our family member. Her passport has expired. There's no record of her leaving the U.S. They say she has no means to leave, so she probably is limited. I would imagine it's pretty expensive to fly from Maine, or I don't know, would she have to go to Boston, Logan?
Maybe, yeah.
To fly to Indonesia? So resources are...
She didn't drive.
She didn't drive. She spoke English.
Yes.
But it was her second language.
Right.
So she does have a little bit of difficulty in that regard. She has four children. Who's going to take off for months?
Going on 3 years.
Her family is at their wits' end. There has been no movement on her social media pages, which her family says that she was very active on. She does have a Twitter page that I went on. There's been no action on there since 2018, but that doesn't mean anything because so many people, you know, come and go from their social media stuff. I didn't find anything on Facebook. I didn't look really hard to find profiles.
She does have a Facebook page because her settings are private. I can't see everything, but the last time she posted that I can see is May of 2021.
So and we're talking about a number of months.
Yeah. Mike and her also had a YouTube channel. I think it was about, I don't know, I guess like kind of nature-esque.
Really? What were they talking about? Hiking and stuff?
Things like that. Plants. Trees, you know.
I know she loved animals. I'm definitely curious as to what some of the so-called paper trail could be for her. Yeah, I see it now. Yeah, I guess I probably did look at this at one point. She has a lot of photographs of her and her kids.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like that's with her children. There's some photos. Looks like a salon back home in Indonesia. So I'm going to guess that this photograph of her and a man with a hat outside, that must be her husband, her American husband.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there's the great picture of her in front of the Volkswagen bus. That's a great picture.
Yeah, she's so beautiful.
She really is. I mean, these pictures are really, they're great pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so difficult to see these pictures and think, where in the world has she gone? Because she's living a pretty full life when you look
right
at the photographs. Wow. You know, and she talks a lot about, in some of her Twitter posts before she stopped posting, she talks a lot about preparing for the birth of one of her children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of links posted along with them. Like, remember back in the day where you would check in Foursquare?
Yeah.
it's some of those things. So she was active and she would talk about, you know, where she was at the time. And there's something about, you know, right after she had one of her children, she talked about going and I think like had a spa day or something like that. Like
a postnatal
care day.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like you said, she had such a full life. And one day it just all stopped. And nobody seems to know why.
There was a search of their home. The home that the Shaw family was living in at the time of her disappearance. And I believe they still live in. I don't know that there's been any information about them changing locations or anything. There was a search in February. Were you able to find out any more information about what came of that, if anything?
No. Law enforcement have not released anything pertaining to the search, but they did release a statement after the searches. So it was a 2-day search. They were there, I believe, February 13th and 14th. Mm-hmm. And after that, they released a statement stating no evidence that Anton left to work on a cruise ship back in 2021. And they have also found no evidence Anton is living anywhere else.
There's no, absolutely no record of her being in any other location. She's not been seen anywhere. There's no, you know, electronic trail that would lead to anywhere else. She probably couldn't access accounts on her own. I mean, I'm making that supposition that her and her husband shared their resources, but we don't really know any of those real personal details about her, because she's been missing since fall of 2021. All of that time was lost.
I will add to the law enforcement statement stating that there's no evidence that she's living anywhere else. And I think they said that for two reasons. One, because Mike at some point told them that she went to live back in Indonesia with her family. But two, because at some point, we believe in 2021, Mike told Anton's father that she, you ready for this? Drum roll.
Uh-oh.
She may have left with another man.
Oh.
Yeah. And I got this information from a new article from the Indonesian Lantern. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a quote from there. They have the text message or a screenshot of the text message that Mike sent Anton's father. And it says, their relationship was so deep that Anton hid the identity of myself and my four children. Mike continued, could it be that they already have children?
How? Meaning she had a secret pregnancy that he didn't know about?
Right. In between.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know she did have her older son from a previous relationship. When Anton and Mike met, she was actually widowed. The other three children are from her and Mike's relationship, right? And they all kind of happen pretty quickly.
They all look very young and close in age.
So, yeah, Mike, where did she have the time?
There's parallels with a couple of cases. There's parallels with the Anna Walsh case in Cohasset. Her husband said she got up early in the morning on January 1st and took a car to the airport. There was a work emergency in Washington, D.C. Impossible. And we have since concluded that everything he said was lies. And now he's in prison, or he's in jail, facing murder charges. And his trial is to come. I don't know if they've set a date. I believe this spring, maybe. Brian Walsh will face murder charges of Anna Walsh. She has three young children. Dissimilar to the case of Rena Rojas, who went missing from East Boston, who is a woman who came here from El Salvador, who went missing, and the public did not know she went missing for about 2 months' time. And the reason why we found out that Rena Rojas went missing, because people in her community were saying, there's all this information and all this attention on Anna Walsh, which, in fairness, all missing people should get attention. But no one seems to have mentioned a word about our friend Rena missing. So I think that's what generated. Well, we all know that sometimes law enforcement needs the kick in the ass to actually do something.
Right.
That helped make that public. So here we are with this woman, 33-year-old woman at the time, mother of four, moved to this very rural area in northern Maine. As you have added to the story, she was working almost 3 hours away from her family in Bangor. It just seems like what a random place to pick to go to work.
Right. And like that part of the story, which we know is 100% true, but that part of the story I think is kind of a key, right, into possibly what happened to her.
What is the case with her husband, Mike Shaw? Has he said anything publicly? I haven't been able to find anything. Is he just living his life, taking care of the children in this very rural area of northern Maine, under the assumption that his story adds up publicly?
I believe they are still in the same house after the investigators did their thing in February. They kind of moved back in and been under the radar as far as Mike, right? Her children obviously are too young to speak about this. But Mike, yes, he has not said anything publicly. We do know last year in 2023, he has cut ties with Anton's family. I think the pressure was too much for him. He couldn't deal with it. So, yeah, he hasn't talked to them, hasn't talked publicly. He's just kind of a big mystery, I guess.
Have any members of Anton's family at any point in time tried to come to the U.S.?
I don't know.
We really don't know what their situation is. We don't know what kind of resources that they have available to them either. This often happens with cases like this. There's no person here. I mean, thankfully, we have this woman, Kara, online, right, who's been supporting them in this way. There's been really nobody here to advocate in any way for further searches. I mean, certainly we also know what happens with cases like this, that law enforcement doesn't always, you know, release everything they're working on. They may have information that we're not privy to, that we may never be privy to. There may have been subsequent searches that we're not aware of. But what's really troubling is this is such a small area. It's about 1,600 people. I mean, some high schools have more people than that.
Right.
Than this town has.
And many in 2021, even in November, when we know he definitely reported, when Mike definitely reported her missing, it still wasn't a public thing. There was no news coverage. There was nothing on social media. So therefore, the locals didn't really know. It wasn't until January, and then definitely when the investigation happened in the home in February, is when I actually seen online many of the locals coming to the Facebook page and were just so confused that they had no idea that this woman was missing. That's so even crazy. With a small town, they still didn't know.
And because she is from another country, so she may not feel completely comfortable interacting with people. We don't know what her personality was. She did have four young children, so she was part of the community in some way. I would guess that the children were involved in school, in public school, unless there was a homeschooling situation going on, which did happen for many families during the pandemic. Right.
I do believe they are in public school. I did see online, you know, a lot of the local mothers coming forward, especially after the investigation in February, that, you know, their children go to school with her children. And so, yes, I do believe that they go to public schools now. Not sure about when they first moved here in 2020.
Right. There's no way to know if law enforcement spoke to the children or if the children even have the ability to articulate what they may have seen or if something happened, if they're even aware.
Right.
I mean, if something happened in the home, which we don't know, there's no evidence. They did search the house. They didn't really release anything.
I do find it, though, a tad suspicious that they were there 2 days back to back.
Yes. So what does that say? They were there 2 days. There was some reason for them to continue searching.
Right.
But what's troubling is, like many of the cases that we know, there's probably substantial things, you know?
Yeah, but no evidence to prove it.
And that's the thing. We've heard these cases. I've heard families say it. We know who did it. We know what happened. We know who did it. But they can't prove anything. I try to be very careful the way I address these situations. I can't say that Anton Shaw's husband, Mike, harmed her. We have no evidence. The evidence that we do have is that she is missing. She is, at the time, a 33-year-old mother of four children living in a foreign country to her. More foreign is that it was very rural. Not a lot of people around. Whether she was somebody who was very social or not, we don't know. Whether she had any relationships in the community, we don't know. What her husband Mike Shaw's knowledge is of the area, we can guess that he's from there, but we're not completely sure. We don't really know what he did for work. We're left with all of these unknowns.
Too many questions, not enough answers.
We have a very small police department. The main state police department. What's their closest, you know, hub? What's the closest barracks to this area? Are we talking about, you know, different counties? It's unlikely that, you know, the state police are hanging around Washburn, Maine, trying to get information. It becomes a resource issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that there was something online about like an online vigil or something for her. Did I read that or am I getting this confused with another case?
It is for her. So Kara, amazing lady, she volunteered to help the family spread awareness about Anton, and she created the Facebook page, which is called Where is Anton Shaw on Facebook. And on there, she is kind of trying to see, I think it was about a week or two ago, she did post if anybody would be interested in a vigil for her this year, which I'm all for. I'm just not sure what Washburn is like. And I just don't know. I mean, it's a small town, right? So we can only hope that people will just come and hopefully it will be a big turnout.
Yeah, and that would have to be something that kind of loop in a bunch of resources to help because of the general nature of just where it is. Mm-hmm. And the general nature of really having absolutely no idea what we're dealing with. I would imagine that her husband is not going to want to be public about this. But it's worth trying to reach out to him to see if he would come to something.
I mean, that would be amazing.
As more information becomes available, I made one of my, call it a flyer, I just put together like a one-page thing that I put on my website and I share. It's just another means of getting her face out there. It's just right. Another means of trying to keep her case active because there's so many people. We can never assume that people have heard about her case. Mm-hmm. We can never assume like, oh, everybody knows. No, I didn't know. Initially, I think I was aware that a woman went missing in Maine, and I didn't even know where in Maine. And then once I looked at it, I was like, oh my, this is almost Canada, Maine. Very small town. And then the more I learned, the more I delved, I realized that something has happened to this woman. She would be, I believe, 36 now.
Right.
She was a petite woman. She stood about 4'7", tiny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She weighed maybe 110 pounds. She's Indonesian. Her English is her second language. She has four children. She left and never came home.
Yeah, and she left everything behind.
There's been no activity on any of her social media platforms. Her family said there was no activity through her social security account, which I'm not sure what that means.
I think the social security account has to do with the passport. Apparently her passport had expired prior, and I guess she didn't use her social security to reapply. That's where I think that comes from.
Because there would be a record of any of that. There would be a record of, there'd be a credit record if she tried to take out a loan or a credit card. There'd be a credit record if she tried to apply for a passport. There would be a credit record if you're working someplace, applying. A lot of companies do background checks, etc. It's interesting, though, that she was working at that place in Bangor and they said, there's a problem with your paperwork. Maybe she didn't technically have all the proper paperwork to work in the U.S. in terms of citizenship. Maybe she was still going through the process of applying for citizenship.
Right. I think that's what it was.
It's fascinating. You were told, is this something that came through Kara, the advocate? Her husband had gotten a salon for her?
Yes. The family told her that, told Kara that.
Do you know where that salon was?
I don't.
I'm going to ask Kara if maybe she can fill in some of these questions that we just don't have the answers for and put that together. You shared a bunch of things with me that I had no idea about. So thanks for filling in some of those gaps.
So what we're here for is spreading the word, right? And spreading correct information.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do want to end on a small statement from the family.
Cool.
They said, please, any information, no matter how seemingly innocuous, share with us, or preferably the police of Washburn. They are still actively investigating her disappearance. Anything you can do to find her would be deeply appreciated by many. Please ask friends and anyone in the area if they know something and have a detail to share. Please do not forget her, as we have not.
Well, we're not going to allow that to happen. And you know, she's got four children that really want to know where their mom is. And we have to play it cool and say,
play nice.
I'm sure her husband wants to know what happens. We don't, there's no evidence to suggest that he did anything to harm her.
Mm-hmm.
Until we have that evidence, all we have to go on is that she is missing. We don't know where she is. She's not, has not seen her children since September 2021. That is a long time to be away from your small children.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Brandy.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Brandy's website is evaporatethemissing.com. She writes about missing persons cases from all over the world, not just here in New England. My name is Angel Wood. Thank you for listening to the show. There is more going on with Atin's case. It seems to have been reopened, that 2-day search of the Shaw property. Something had to have come from that. Still so much more to learn about this case. Here are a few post notes I will add to this. Atin's family has been looking for her. They requested information from the Indonesian consulate in New York City. A huge concern
that Atin's family has is, well, they haven't spoken to her. And going on 3 years, she has 4 young children that are still here in the States. Atin's father passed away in 2023. The report is of some type of stomach ailment. That just reinforced all the worry and all of the concern Atin's family had. Her father passed away, and she didn't come home, and there was no contact from her. There has been communication between Mike Shaw and Atin's family in Indonesia. But how recent there has been communication, that is unclear. By the looks of it, Mike P. Shaw has been pretty quiet about his vanished wife. Washburn, Maine Police Department investigated, found no proof that she had been working on a cruise ship. There was no evidence that she relocated anywhere with anyone. There was no record of any movement by Atin R. Shaw after September 2021. And even people in that very small town in northern Maine were not aware that a woman was missing from their town. It just goes to show how very little has been said about a missing mother of 4 small children who disappears from a rural community of about 1,600 people. That's not an indictment of the community. It's an indictment of the person withholding the information. And there is more information still to learn about the disappearance of Atin R. Shaw. I thank Brandy. I thank Kara. There is a public Facebook group, Where is Atin Shaw? Her first name is spelled A-T-T-I-I-N. Shaw. S-H-A-W. There are a great many posts, news links, photographs of Atin over the years. I have found a number of pictures posted publicly that I will share in the gallery at crimeofthetruestkind.com. And I will continue to get more information from Kara, who is responsible for helping generate interest in this case. I made a case flyer for Atin's case. It's linked at crimeofthetruestkind.com. You can share it. People need advocates. People need someone who will be brave enough to speak up for them when they are unable to. Thank you for listening. My name is Angele Wood. This is Crime of the Truest Kind, online at Crime of the Truest Kind. Follow the show on all the places. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars are my favorite. Give the dogs a bone. Become a Patreon patron. 4 tiers starting at just $1. I have a busy month coming up, but I do intend on dropping some episodes during that time. Fingers crossed. And I have some pretty interesting projects in the works. And more live in-person shows are coming. Okay, I'm gonna go now. Bye, everybody. Bye. Lock your goddamn doors.